Sanctuary is a community where young adults gather, no matter where they're at on their faith journey, to learn about Jesus, to grow in Jesus, to dive deeper in Jesus and authentic community. And although the Bay Area, as we all know in here, is just intrinsically transient, at Sanctuary, we strive to do life together. And if you're new to Sanctuary, that's what we do. We do life together here. And I've actually known Wilson for about 3 to 4 years. And we used to serve in middle school ministry together here at Menlo Church. And I'm honored that I get to serve with him at Sanctuary. Wilson leads our welcome team with Sarah Tucker. If you've ever felt welcome here at Sanctuary, Sarah and Wilson most likely had something to do with it. And just like Wilson said, the word had become flesh to him. The words in the Bible, they contain truths like love one another deeply or love your neighbor as yourself. And we have a community of leaders who take that seriously. And if you want to experience that more, we invite you to join a team. I mean, we invite you and we extend the invitation to connect into a life group. Well, today, we're starting a new series that I'm really excited about called Who is Jesus? And during the series, we'll be looking at different roles that Jesus engaged others through in the Gospel of John. We're looking at the Gospel of John during the series. And we'll also be looking at the various ways that we can connect or we can model the different roles that Jesus engaged others through as well. If you have any questions about Jesus or want to learn more about who he is, this is the perfect series for you. Now, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is a fascinating gospel. In fact, it's one of my favorite gospels. And not only does it unfold chapter by chapter, showing different characteristics and roles that Jesus engaged others through, but it paints this picture of a society that really didn't know who Jesus is. And in fact, most of the early readers of John's gospel really had to read the gospel from the end to the beginning. Meaning, who Jesus really is was fully understood through his death and his resurrection, that Jesus is in fact God, the Creator. And when you peer through John's gospel with this end to beginning in view, with this end to beginning view in mind, you actually land on this significant statement on the reality of who Jesus actually is from the very first page, the Creator. John's gospel. I'll say weird things if you're new. I embarrass myself all the time. John's gospel begins by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made." Now, alone, these verses can seem kind of confusing, and to be honest, questions that I've often asked myself are, okay, so what exactly is the Word? I mean, are they like actual words that we say? Are they different than actual words they say? Are they the audible words that people say? What are we talking about here? And if you classify yourself as a thinker, then you can probably deduct that in this case, the Word is more than something that people just say. It's something far bigger. In fact, John was saying that the Word is not a what, but a who. And that the Word, this who, is not only equal to God, our Creator, but was and is God. That the Word made all things and was with God in the beginning. And now, while these verses probably confuse us just a little bit, like the Word, what are we talking about? They were actually really enlightening to the early readers. Just as the Gospel of John begins with this Word as Creator, so does the first book in the Bible, Genesis. And most of John's readers would probably have made this parallel. The beginning of Genesis reads, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, 'Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water.' And Genesis continues to give account for the creation of everything, of light, of water, of trees, of plants, of animals, finishing with us. The creation of humanity simply by his words. We are here today because God spoke and created us by his words. Because God's words, because he spoke them, flesh came. There's power and there's life in God's words. Now, this is something that was so profound yet subtle that if we're not careful, we'd miss it. By using just intentional biblical context, the gospel writer John was making this profound statement about Jesus before he even introduced who Jesus is. That in the very beginning, everything was created by the very words of God. And that his words are not merely sounds, but are powerful. His words have the ability to create anything and everything. I mean, his words created light. His words created life. His words created our flesh. In fact, his words were so central to his power and who he is that his words are the very expression of who he is. God is his words. And at the very beginning of his gospel, John introduces Jesus not as a baby born in a manger, not as the son of a virgin, not as one adopted by a carpenter. John doesn't even introduce Jesus as someone innocent and tender, just fully at the mercy of his parents. No, John begins his gospel by introducing Jesus through an aspect of God that was so highly regarded, so highly feared, so highly respected. It was an aspect that caused nations to quake, mountains to tremble, hearts to repent. John introduced Jesus as the agent in which all things were created. He introduced Jesus as the Word, as God, the powerful creator. And why? Because words are powerful. Words are very powerful. Often they're more powerful than the strongest of weapons. And words are intimate. Words are tender. Words can create life. And words can create death. But John doesn't stop there. John continues by saying, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now, what's interesting here is that the word used for overcome also means understood. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. And that word understood is just really striking, because when Jesus came, when light entered the darkness of the world did not recognize it. It didn't understand it. So essentially, through the powers of his words, God created everything. And then with these same words, in the Old Testament records this, God gave instructions to his people, to humanity, on how to live through his words, and on how to do what was right, how to love him, how to love others. But then God saw his creation slowly stop listening to his words. And because of that, his creation became more and more dark. So since his words were not being listened to or followed anymore, God decided to make the fullness of his words become flesh in the form of Jesus and dwell among us. John continues by saying, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So who is Jesus? He's God's powerful, creative, and life-giving word. And God's word had just entered the world. And since the world had just stopped listening to his word, the world would now see, experience, touch, and live with his word. Now I want to talk a little bit about words and how powerful words are. I mean, words are super powerful. With two words, "I do," couples commit the rest of their lives to each other. This past week, all of us probably know this, the world just listened to the words of the famous ex-FBI director Comey, just listening to see if the things that he would say would just cause this potential dramatic shift in our politics. Words communicate love. Words communicate hate. Words inspire. Words make us laugh. Words unite. And words divide. Words are powerful. Proverbs says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So this past week, I was in an HR simulation. I don't know if y'all have been in an HR simulation before. I was in it with Alina and a bunch of other people. And I mean, I love our HR director, but there's just something about simulations to me, confession, if you work in HR, I kind of apologize. But there's something about simulations for me that just seem like a little weird. Like we're pretending to do this like skit with a whole bunch of people who don't like to act. It's like super not fun. But in this simulation, we were there. We all had to choose a word that made us feel different when we were growing up. Then we were asked to write the word down, the word that made us feel different on a post-it note, put that word on our chest, and then interact with everyone in the room, calling them by the word that they put. So since I'm a super mature person, the word that I put that made me feel different was the word different. So I don't know. I thought it was funny at the time. That didn't really go over well with our HR director. So we started mingling. We put the post-it note on. We started talking with people. Hi, lonely. I'm different. Hi, afraid. Yeah, it's kind of super awkward. Hi, afraid. I'm different. Hi, overweight. I'm different. And then you talk to the person who just didn't get it. Hi, absolutely amazing, I'm different. Like, what are you talking about? And then when I got to the fifth coworker, I stumbled a little bit. She was a middle-aged woman with a very just racially derogatory word written on her post-it note. And since I just didn't feel comfortable saying that word out loud, I cut to the chase and asked her why she put that word on her post-it note. And she said that when she was in middle school, there was a boy who bullied her one day. It was the first time that she had ever been called that word before. It was the first time that she had ever actually heard anything derogatory about her race. And she said that she felt confused and lonely and isolated and wronged. She said that she felt like she didn't belong and that there was nothing that she could do to avoid feeling like that. And then she said that this only happened once to her by this boy. That after he said this word to her, this derogatory word, he left her alone. And 40 years later, she still remembers the pain of that word. 40 years later, she's still working through the darkness that that word inflicted on her. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And the sobering thing is that we have the power to use words in a powerful way, because our words have the ability to give life or death. Just like Jesus, our words often become flesh to other people, and for us, sometimes they're beautiful, and sometimes they're not beautiful. Sometimes they're cancerous, like a tumor growing on us. And just like Jesus' words, our words have the ability to actually live longer than we do. It's a crazy thing to think about it. Jesus went to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father, and his words are still being used to bring light and life to all that call him Savior. And there are words that have been spoken by many who lived long before us that are still influencing this world today. And there are words that have been spoken to you by other people that are still influencing you. Some of these words gave light and life, while some of these words gave darkness and death. We have the power to use words in a powerful way. How do you use your words? What are some of the things that you say to others? Proverbs also says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We have the opportunity to use our words to bring healing. But here's the thing, friends, here's the thing that is just truth. We are the only ones that are responsible for the words that we say. We're the only ones responsible for our words, regardless of the words that were spoken to us. We have the freedom to speak whatever we want to speak to others because we have the power to use words in a powerful way. But there's more to words than just merely sounds. Words, they actually have a source. Words come from something. Words come from somewhere. Luke wrote, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." So the words issue is really a heart issue. How's your heart doing? If you're not sure, you can usually tell by the words that you say. And if you struggle with words, you might really need to take a deeper look. If you find yourself gossiping about others, slandering others, saying words that just aren't helpful, then there's an invitation for you to get some heart help. And if you don't know where to start, joining a life group or talking with a close and trusted friend where you can get feedback on the effect that your words have on others is really a tremendous first step. I mean, that's something that I personally do, and just let me tell you, it can be super difficult. I mean, because heart work can often feel like heart surgery, but the result is a healthy heart and life-giving words. It's the discernment to use the power of our words to empower others. And that's just what Jesus did. When Jesus came as God's word in the flesh, things that were dead began to have life. Later in the Gospel of John, John records that in a loud voice, Jesus called Lazarus up and the dead man became alive. To the lame man, Jesus said to take up your mat and walk, and he was healed. I mean, with one word, lepers were cured of their diseases. With one word, forgiveness was extended to sinners. Jesus's word brought life. Jesus's word brought healing. And we, friends, we have this incredible gift called the Bible. This incredible gift called the Bible that contains these very words. And they're able to bring us healing. They're able to bring us life. Because his words have become flesh and they're alive. In Hebrews says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." And if we let it, the word of God can give us heart surgery, separating the light from the darkness within us. Now, I remember when I was younger, there actually was a word that made me feel different when I was growing up. And it wasn't the word different. It was worthless. Now, I'm not saying that I was actually worthless, but I often felt that I was. I mean, I usually was like the last person chosen on sports teams. Anyone like that in middle school? You know, you think you're like, oh, I know sports balls. I know all the games and stuff. And you know that you're really not that good. And they're like, okay, we got your captains line up. And you think you're in the military, but you're super young. And for me, I thought, oh, I'm going to be chosen first out of these 10 fools. Nope. I'm like, I got second. Come on. Nope. Third, nope. And then down to number seven, I thought, surely they know that I'm bad at football or whatever it was. Nope. And it was down to me and someone else. And I'm like, clearly they're asleep. You have to choose me. But nope, I was chosen almost last every time. But there was a reason, because I was really terrible at sports growing up. And I was never really a shining academic star. People would let me know these things through their words. And after hearing that message be spoken over and over and over and over to me while I was growing up, I created a narrative that I was worthless. Until a pastor, when I was younger, he encouraged me. He encouraged me to look in a mirror every day and say words from the Bible about my worth in God. So, every day, Worthless would wake up and walk to the mirror and recite Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Months would pass, and Worthless would still wake up, walk to my mirror, and recite Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And after months of doing this, something began to happen. The name Worthless in my heart soon shifted to Worth It. It was like a seed of truth was planted in my heart by these words, and it was beginning to grow. Slowly became alive. They slowly became flesh. My feelings began to follow truth instead of truth following my feelings. And now I fully realize that there are some situations where it's healthy for truth found in the Word of God to partner with counseling and therapy and different kinds of help. But throughout this, I learned a lesson about whose words I'm really listening to. And when I shifted from listening to the words of God for my life, His words, they became my flesh. They became alive in me. And there's an invitation for you to do the same. What's the word that made you feel different? What's the word that makes you feel different? Does that word fit into God's word for you? Because God so loved you that He sent His one and only Son, the Word, to speak life into you. To speak hope into you. To speak purpose into you that He wants to accomplish through you today. And friends, if you're here and you feel like you have no purpose, that's wrong. You have a purpose. God has a purpose for your life today. He has a purpose for you being in the Bay Area. He has a purpose for the internships and the colleges and the transitions that you're doing. He has a purpose for you. And just like He wants to speak His life-giving, alive words to you, He wants you to speak His life-giving, alive words to others, to have Jesus' words influence your words, to empower others through the power of His words, because words matter. Words are important, and so are you. So who is Jesus? He's God's powerful, creative, life-giving word, and God's word became flesh and dwelled among us. And one day, though we strain to see in the darkness that this world can bring, His words will bring life and light to all those who listen to His voice. Let's pray. Jesus, I confess that often it's hard for me to hear your words. I confess that sometimes I choose not to hear your words. I confess that sometimes you're speaking to me and I don't agree with you. I think that your words are wrong and my words are right, or other people's words are right. Jesus, help us listen to your words. Help us speak good words to others. Help us speak good words to ourselves. And God, I pray that we can take your word seriously, the words that are in your Bible, though we can struggle with them, though we can perhaps doubt or disagree, that's fine. That we can navigate this life and this journey with your word. Because one day, for those who choose to listen to your voice, we'll be with you. Your word says we'll be perfect in you. Your word says that you'll wipe every tear from our eye. We will cry in this life, but in the life to come with you, and that's our hope. Your word says you will comfort. And so, God, I pray that you help us listen to your word. Help us accept that it's hard sometimes. Help us have grace with ourselves as we try to listen. And help influence our words. In your name we pray. Amen.